Call to order at, we ready? Nope.
Missing one, two.
Okay. Call to order at 3:31. Roll call, please. Here.
Daniel Gomez.
Here.
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 Okay. We have a quorum. Public comment. Got some people. Public comment. The first 15 minutes of the meeting are reserved for members of the public to address the council on items which are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the council. Speakers shall be limited to 3 minutes. Speakers will be asked to identify themselves and state the subject of their comment. If the subject is an item on the agenda, the chairperson has the option of asking the speaker to hold their comment until that item is called. Comments on the items listed as public hearing on the agenda should be held until the hearing is opened. The council is prohibited by law from taking any actions on matters discussed that are not on the agenda, and no adverse conclusions should be drawn if the council does not respond to public comments at this time. Anyone from the public care to comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. And who do we have as guests today? Linda? Linda? Who else is with you?
Irma.
Irma? Hi. Nice to meet you. Jack? Jack Porter? All right. Okay, so we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, the business matters, the approval of the minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes?
I'd like to move to accept the minutes as presented.
We do need to make a correction. At the top of the minutes, in the gray area, I think the distributed minute said the January date still. We've corrected it to February.
February 19th.
So we just need the motion to indicate approve the minutes as corrected.
Approve the minutes as corrected.
I gave you a copy of the minutes, too, the corrected ones for you to sign.
Okay. Any other changes?
I second.
Motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Dennis, you made.
I made the motion to accept the minutes as with the corrections, noting the correction.
And I second.
Okay. All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, motion passed unanimously. On to the next item. Okay. And that would be the discussion of the housing authority programs related to the disabled population. Linda Shaw, executive director.
Hi, Linda. And associates.
And associates, everybody today.
Wanted to make sure we answered all your questions specifically.
Well, and I finally got around to looking at your fine print here, and it's been very helpful. So,
thank you. We tried to answer all of the questions exactly as you asked them. And so, do I need to go through this, or should I? We just have question and answers?
Well, if you wouldn't mind just giving us the overview, because I think we have some, as we hit the items, we'll have some questions.
Okay.
Okay.
The first part talks about how the authority is made up and what departments we run. And of those departments, the housing that is available to the public, and also what percentage of those housing units are set aside for either disabled or seniors or both. In addition to that, we have a nonprofit that is called MOORS. And that nonprofit also owns property on Yosemite, May, Santa Cruz, and Clinton. And any of those properties can be designated as both disability and for seniors.
And are those federally funded?
They are coming from different parts. One of them, Yosemite, is part Section 8, and part public housing. Does anybody want to clear that up a little better?
This is pretty complex as far as.
The one for Yosemite, which is the Yosemite Manor, mm-hmm. That one is part Section 8, project-based Section 8, and the rest are all public housing.
Okay, so that's the four-story unit.
Three-story unit on the corner of Yosemite and P Street.
So that's a blended Section 8 and Moores.
Right. When I say Section 8, is a Section 8 that cannot be transferred to another location. It's to the unit, set to the unit.
Designated units, okay. And then who operates Moores?
The chairman of the board is Herman Perez, and the vice chair is Bob, what's Bob's last name? I can't remember his last name right now, and I serve as staff to that board.
Okay, and they're a nonprofit?
They're a nonprofit, and it was basically set up before I came to Madeira for the purpose of acquiring land and selling properties.
Okay.
In order to be able to do that quicker than what the Housing Authority could do it.
And was this part of the RDA at any point? The Madeira RDA, Redevelopment Agency?
No, it was not.
Okay, because that strikes me as a pretty efficient idea.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we've worked with RDA, but it was never under RDA.
Okay, all right. I guess I'd like to meet these Moores people and see if they have any other interests. Do they have any interest in expanding, or?
Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, this past year, we recently sold two properties in Chowchilla for $1.8 million, which was a nice piece of profit for us. And what they've told me, I get on my desk inquiries about selling things like Yosemite.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually tell people we're not interested in that. But they've indicated to me at Moores that if there's something like B Street or one of the other streets, to bring it to them, let them look at it and see if it's feasible to sell it.
Yeah, okay. Good to know. And these are, then HUD is also involved. Can you explain pass-through funding?
Pass-through funding is funding that comes from a major source that is passed through to someone else for them to award. CDBG is a perfect example of that. The money comes from the federal government. It's passed through to the state, which also passes through to the city, and then the city makes final recommendations on how that money should be spent, and it goes back to HUD for final approval.
And those funds are usually restricted?
Usually restricted,
absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. I think the tone or the intention is to see how we can maximize resources,
yes,
for more senior and disabled housing. And that's really the focus. And if we could involve some of these other partners, you know, would be huge. Mm-hmm. So, okay. And we have 244 units of public housing currently. And is any of that restricted or reserved for housing seniors or the disabled?
In public housing, we have approximately 76 units that are designated for
seniors.
Disabled, yes.
Okay, and none for the disabled?
For the combined together.
Combined.
But it's usually the 62 and over and disabled.
62 and over, okay. And then we have Pomona Ranch. And that is, how is Pomona Ranch in your portfolio?
Pomona Ranch is in our portfolio through the Department of
Agriculture.
Who works through the Office of Migrant Services.
But they have priority use.
They have priority use, which is why for the Pomona Ranch project the last 2 years, we've only been able to have like 3 to 5 month period of time for using that facility.
Do you ever see that changing? Are they ever going to go build another complex and then maybe relinquish that?
I can't guess at that. What I do see changing is that they are providing opportunities for the current migrant farm workers to stay longer and longer.
Longer and longer.
Do What facilities go out to Pomona? I mean, not facilities. What transportation out to Pomona Ranch for? Does the Dial-A-Ride go out there?
I believe Dial-A-Ride still goes out there. And it's an Avenue 12, so a lot of the traffic going to the school. But, yeah, I believe Dial-A-Ride still goes over there.
So they could catch a ride into town for doctors and food and everything. Yeah. Good.
I have one question. When you say that you applied to a grant and you weren't successful, it's obviously it happens. Is there constantly grants with you guys and they're constantly applying? Is that kind of the nature of that? Or what kind of – how do you –
There's constantly grants, but they're targeted towards specific things. Mm-hmm. Unless you're looking for an award of some kind where they list categories of things that you can apply for, grants are really targeted to one or more things.
Gotcha.
So this specific grant that we went after was for disabled people only, providing disabled housing. And we were going to create that housing with matching funds from Moore's and from our reserve accounts, but we were not funded.
Where was that grant applied for? To the $500,000 grant?
I know what you're talking about.
At
I'm
HUD,
just trying to think.
HUD or a specific?
I believe it was HUD. I believe it was HUD. I'm trying to think of which department, though, and I can't think of that.
Would there be any benefit to reapplying for seniors?
We could. We'd have to wait till the next round, but we could do that. Do you think that would be beneficial?
Yeah, I think that'd be beneficial because any money we can get for to support and have more housing would be great. I mean, I think it's something maybe we should be every year applying to.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was the first year I saw this particular grant.
Oh, okay. So
but we can certainly look out for it every year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of the seniors also have combined disability issues.
Correct.
So, I mean, I think we're meeting both. We're meeting a lot of needs covering one base, so to speak.
Correct.
So, okay. And is there anything else, in your opinion, we can be doing to increasing our seniors' population housing?
Well, one of the suggestions I made was as a commission or a board, I'm not sure which you are, to write to Secretary Ben Carson and tell him that he, or ask him rather, to set aside money specific for that population. That's one thing you can do. Every year, NARO holds a legislative conference. This year is April 7th to 9th. We are sending two city council people to meet with lawmakers, and that's on their list.
What was that acronym?
The National Housing and Redevelopment Office. And if you were willing to join NARO, you could be invited to all of these particular conferences, but the most important one is the one in the fall with the legislative people and the department heads reporting to the president.
Absolutely. I'm all in favor of joining what we can effort, and certainly letters, we can certainly do that.
Well, why don't I send you one of their applications?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If I could ask a question, could I see noted here the letter to Secretary Ben Carson, but we do not work in the same world you do. Would it be possible that you could draft a letter with the right terminology, phrasing, and provide that to us, and then we could look at putting it on our letterhead?
Supplement.
Yes.
Okay. And then I had a question. How do we determine that our needs are being met? That the current demand for seniors and housing are being met?
How do we determine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like say for instance, if somebody comes in and apply for, that are in a wheelchair or that need accessible units, mm-hmm. those families are in a higher category.
Is it a numerical score? I mean, is it a, how do you?
When we place them on the waiting list, it is based on the point system that we have
okay.
them on. So if the family is a Madera resident, if the family is a working family, if the family is disabled, if the family is homeless, if they meet the certain criteria, they go on a point system, time and date order. Okay, and so at this time, we have a lot of seniors. We do have a lot of seniors on our waiting list,
right.
But we don't have families that need accessible units. And when I'm talking about accessible units, we're talking about wheelchair, eyesight, or hearing impairments.
So right now, you don't have anyone with disabilities on a waiting list?
No.
Wow.
That they have claimed.
Okay.
And in our application, it indicates if they have that special needs.
Okay. Because my experience at the fair last year interacting with the public was very different. So maybe we need to reach out a little bit more.
Solicit.
Or
we do go out and solicit. We do our marketing out there, and I'm sure that I've seen some of you out there, and along with some of our staff that go out there and do marketing. We
mm-hmm.
give out applications for all of our program, including public housing, farm labor. We don't solicit much the Section 8 because usually that waiting list is closed throughout the years.
Right.
But whenever we do open up, they do go out there and market also.
Okay, let me ask one other question. If someone's disabled, can they be placed in a senior unit without the full benefit, if that's their preference?
If it's 62 and over, we do have the senior complex, okay, that
right.
are like the 800 area, 800 East Yosemite. We do have other specific areas for the young 55 and over. Those hardly ever become vacant. Once the family moves in or the person moves in, they don't move out. We only have a certain amount, and unless somebody moves out, we're able to put somebody else in.
Right.
So you could just imagine how slow a waiting list could be.
Right, which speaks to the need to increase those units.
Yeah.
For the young disabled, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And the general population. How many people are on your waiting list right now?
Right now it's 1,083.
And that's for Section
8? And we're talking 1,083, we're talking families for public housing.
Public housing. And the definition of public housing is what?
The apartments owned and managed by the Housing Authority. These units are 244 units located in different areas
okay.
throughout Madera.
And that's low-income?
Low-income.
Working folks?
It's a mixture of
mixture
everything.
Of, so that's
mixture
just strictly low-income. So that's two separate,
yeah.
completely
and
different
Section
area.
8.
All right, well, I think we're sorting this out.
She wants to say something about Section 8. So you had a question with regards to the Section 8. We have 854 applications currently active on our waiting list, and those are by date and time order and preference as well.
On Section 8?
Yes.
Okay. And those are regular folks, low-income families, can be a mix, a blend.
Correct.
Okay. What's the income threshold for Section 8?
It's based on family size.
Roughly.
I couldn't tell you because it goes by household size, and it's we either go by extremely low income or very low income, and it's HUD income limits that we use.
Okay. All right. Nonprofit. Well, with that intent of increasing this supply, I think, you know, we could do all the outreach we can possibly do, and possibly with the combination with MORS or similar agencies. I was completely unaware that they were a nonprofit, so that opens up a whole other avenue.
You might want to invite Chairman Perez
absolutely.
To come and talk about MORS as well.
Absolutely.
I had a question. You said that your low income is based on HUD numbers.
Yeah.
Did I understand that?
The income limits?
Yes.
Yeah, we go off of HUD income limit requirements.
So that's a national number?
Depending on the area. So like Madera has its own, it's very similar to
yeah.
Fresno's income limits as well as Merced. So it just depends on the area. LA, of course, is going to be a lot different than we are in the Central
okay.
Valley.
And then how does CAPMC figure into housing?
CAPMC is one of our partners, and one of the questions that was asked was who subsidizes housing when you don't have housing to provide? And my answer was that there are others, nonprofits or community-based organizations in town that do have housing. I don't know when they're open or not, but I usually will call CAPMC. to talk to them about their housing. I usually call behavioral health.
How many units does CAPMC have? 10?
I don't know.
10, 20, 100?
I don't know.
No, offhand. And how about behavioral health?
I don't know.
Because those would be fairly restricted, I would think.
They are restricted.
DSS, okay. So we would be able to get those numbers from them?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then how about the other 20 agencies you're working with to provide housing?
The 20 agencies are the committee members who sit around and decide about the Pomona Ranch project, who gets in and who doesn't get in. And it would be easier for me to just
email
you a list.
Okay. So that's not a there's some of the duplication involved in that of these other agencies?
So one agency will provide food. One agency will provide mental health services, that kind of thing. So if you see the list, you'll recognize the agency.
Okay. And then in regard to Pomona Ranch, I'm just not sure that that's a viable option for seniors or the disabled. I think that's more targeted at homeless outreach.
We have right now two handicapped people or disabled people in the program. The last 2 years, we've had disabled people.
In Pomona Ranch?
At Pomona Ranch.
Okay, so they were homeless and placed?
Also disabled.
My understanding of that was it was more of an interventional program.
It is an interventional program. I would call it that.
Not a permanence or a
not a permanent situation, but it leads to permanent situations.
Okay. Very complex stuff.
Yeah. Thank you very much for writing this letter and answering our questions. I'm very impressed, and it's good to have this information at last.
We put our heads together.
Yeah, you did a great job.
Well, and now we can refer to it and bother you further.
Okay, thank you.
With regard to, you know, moving the ball forward for more housing for seniors and hopefully getting the public on board. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Manny? No?
Nope. Good, thank you.
Kim?
Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A big help.
Thanks to all of you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so then we move on to the next item. And that would be the discussion on our Madeira post office.
One of the things that we looked at was how to move the ball forward. Obviously, the postmaster has been gone again for a while, which is an interesting problem. And then what I discovered, a couple things. One was that there's actually a complaint form on the USPS.gov site. But the problem is it's not easy to access. It's not like a simple one-click form. It's like buried behind things. I worked on trying to get more of the form, like a paper copy of the form, but it doesn't exist anymore. It's all digitally is what I've been told. It used to be a paper one. The post office has two different kinds of complaint forms. One is if postmen or post ladies, post people, decide that they're going to complain, they have the ability to, they can fill it out. And that goes straight to the director and becomes an area district kind of a deal. When people complain, it goes typically into the same kind of pile, but doesn't go up as quickly. It's obviously, it's a worker union type of a situation at that point with them. And with us, it's more of a general complaint. I did work at, my other thought was to build a Facebook page and address it. And then with Jack's been posting pictures of people that post in handicap, and it makes me look for people that are posted in handicap spots because I can't wait to post, but I haven't found one yet. But it makes me check people's placards. But I think that's a kind of the right idea to go with it. But after some reflection and some other conversations I have, I kind of have to back off of pushing it. It wasn't anybody threatened me or anything horrible, but it was just a conversation I had about some other stuff. And so I've kind of been the point person from this committee to handle it, but from this point on, I'll support it. I've mentioned it. I've still had conversations about it, but I don't think I'm the right person to to begin with a Facebook page, et cetera, about it. We did have a conversation, Cece and I had a conversation about getting our local, not our local government, our, more of our federal government, our congressmen and senators involved in it.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of where it needs to be. But I don't want to be that person. I'll just be honest with you. And that's just kind of for other reasons that don't have anything to do with anything other than just my personal reasons. So anyway, but I think that's a direction that somebody should go with it. I just don't think it should be me. If that's fair enough to say.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, I was ramping up about a month ago, and some conversations I had, and just I was like, it made me pause and reflect, and I said, no, I need to step away for a moment. So, anyway.
Well, a little history here. Cynthia and I met probably 14 years ago, and we were both protesting in front of the post office. So this has been a long, long effort, and they've ignored us all this time.
It's kind of ridiculous.
You look so surprised, Wendy.
Well, you know, when the last postmaster was in, they had a big ceremony for him at the post office, and I went to that. And was there a big ceremony for the new postmaster, or is this just temp thing, do you think?
They had one for the last one, but they haven't. It's typically a in between postmaster
thing.
Job.
Because I think maybe if we have an opportunity, if there's a new postmaster appointed and they have a big party like that, maybe we could go at that point.
Because
at those parties, at those ceremonies, there's people from the government there, so you can kind of.
Is Santos the our city councilman is a retired postman. He was a wealth of knowledge. He's the one that told me about the form. And he would like to work with whoever wants to redo that. He's very interested in making that change. So, anyway.
I spoke with some folks at Chowchilla a month or so ago, how they got there. They've got a beautiful new facility, postal facility, and they had simply outgrown theirs as well. And a group of those folks came together, involved a retired postmaster who is unfortunately no longer with us. So with enough community effort and involvement, I think we can make some change. And I'm perfectly willing to contact our congressman's office, Jim Costa, and start the ball rolling. And we'll, you know, just try to put as much light on it as we can. And perhaps if we can get their cooperation and input, since we've exhausted local effort. Wendy, do you agree?
If I can suggest, what I'd suggest we do is work on drafting letters to the congressman. So if you have verbiage you'd like to suggest to be included, if you get it to me before the next meeting, obviously we don't want to go too long in our initial letter. We'll get into the details at some point.
So brief and tactful, is that
brief
what you're
and tactful
okay.
and to the point. But then we can bring them back at our next meeting for the entire advisory council to review before we send them off.
Awesome. Do you agree we've exhausted local options?
I think we've tried a lot.
And I'm sorry, I see the postmaster in there all the time. So he's a moving target, shall we say.
The one in Chowchilla, a friend of mine goes to the post office in Chowchilla, and they've had lots of break-ins at that Chowchilla post office. The boxes have been broken into, where you drop off the mail, they had to take those away because those have been vandalized many times. And so we're pretty fortunate we don't have too much of that problems here.
Right.
Well,
but also they're right across from the police department. The post office is in Chowchilla, and it didn't seem to do much good.
They closed the lobby boxes here rather than leave them. They closed the lobby boxes at the door where you can get into the postal boxes at 5 or 5:30.
Oh, and that's why people.
That's why there are no break-ins there. So that's what I was told.
And people slide their mail in through the door there?
Onto the floor, yeah.
To the floor. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and then I had
We need to have legal counsel go over that draft before we send that off?
It depends what we say.
I'm
That's
sure
my legal opinion.
I'm sure Wendy
it
can
depends.
Handle the... Okay, any other comments regarding the Postal Service? Do we agree that we're focusing on doors, ramp access, and parking?
That's it.
Yeah, definitely.
Doors.
Ramp Access and Parking. That's really all it is.
Okay, do we need a motion on that? All righty. Okay, any other comments on the post office? Jack, do you have an opinion? Come on. No. Let's focus on the post office, because I know you've been discussing stuff with them, too, about those doors and the steps and parking. Okay, so.
You need to get Trump down here. He'll fix it. He'll build a wall around
it. Okay. And so we'll move on to the next item. Let's see. Oral reports. Any oral reports? Manny?
Nothing here.
Dennis? Cynthia?
I April will be Autism Awareness Month, and it hits home at my house because we have a little guy there that has autism. But just wanted to just mention that there's a lot of school sites that are doing stuff. Sierra Vista and Pershing both house autism programs for the Unified School District, and they both have stuff, as well as Millview actually has, they do create a video and they do stuff, and they have shirts and stuff. And so, anyway, I just wanted to mention that. That's kind of one of those things to be watching out for. So.
Is there anything we can action on that?
I don't know. If I see of an event or if I see something that's coming up, I'll be sure to email you guys and share that information with you. But
yeah, high school has a great event.
They had that great event last year in the cafeteria. You were the, yeah.
We've been involved with them for years.
Mr. Vivian at the high school
as
soccer coach.
As ADA?
About 3 years ago. Yeah. It's one of our cherished possessions. It's got on the wall at the store. But, I mean, we donated some tools for their little garden that they made. It's a great program.
Yeah, they have if you know the campus next to the science building, it was overgrown garden for years, and they've gone through and partnered with you guys and other businesses in town that have donated to them as well.
Oh, yeah.
And they've redone it, made a nice little sitting area. And as it's kind of neat because there's kids that go and sit, and it's a kind of a quiet little sanctuary for them. They need a break from – we all need a break from high school periodically, but yep. But it's one of those things they get to have. So,
Can I ask a dumb question? Is that building on Country Club Road at Martin, is that a high school or –
It's the one they're building is the new Matilda Torres High School. That's a 90,000? No, bigger than that. I don't know. It's a big building. So, but it's going to have, it'll be a full functioning high school as well.
Great. It's not a very good neighborhood to build it in, but it's nice.
Right by the other two.
Huh? It will be?
Okay. At one point, but I was at the Community Block Grant Development Program last evening. And I was very encouraged because we've got Habitat for Humanity coming in. And they actually are going to be hopefully doing between 10 and 20 projects for local community members. And they've got funding reserved for disability and seniors improvements. And they characterized it as a token initial event. So they're actually bringing a Restore store here. Warehouse type of a thing, and they're planning a bigger footprint in Madeira, which is just huge. Yeah, for donated goods and for, you know, low-income folks and volunteer projects. So I believe he said depending on their funding, they're going to do between 10 and 20 projects for local low-income folks, and that certainly could include ramps, barrier acts, you know, barrier removal, and even some other programs like door size and, you know, other things. So that was very, very encouraging. So I don't know, can we reach out to Habitat at some point and network with them, or can we do it privately?
I know, I got an email today from them. They're putting in a place over off the homes. Let me see. Families will be putting in homes off of Washington and Malone Street, which is over kind of north of MLK a little bit. But yeah, I have the lady's information. I'll have to send her an email and see what we can do to get her to maybe come speak at our.
I think if we reach out to them early enough, we can make sure we can reserve a certain amount, or, you know, at least encourage them to focus on some of the disability needs for seniors and ramps and whatnot. So any ideas on how we could move, do that?
It depends. If you're talking about money that they're going to potentially be awarded through the CDBG process, one that has to finish going through the process until it's approved by council, I believe, do you sit on the advisory board for CDBG? So we need to be careful that we're not getting a little sideways on that. Let the process run its course, and then once they have the funding, assuming it's approved by the city council, then we can look at maybe having them attend one of our meetings and talk about what a potential partnership going forward looks like.
We're just letting them know that we're here. And that we can maybe.
But going forward, if that were to occur and you're still on the CDBG review committee in the future, you may have to recuse yourself from reviewing. It's generally that entire section. So whichever section they're applying under, you know, there's three, there's admin, community service, and capital projects, you would potentially have to recuse yourself. The city attorney, whoever that may be in the future, would have to rule on that.
Okay.
So just
it.
FYI.
Oops. All right. And
you have to pick
your. Okay. And then I also noticed that we are collecting money for. I didn't read this as thoroughly. I picked it up in the business licensing section. Something about we're collecting money for the purpose is to increase disability access and compliance with construction-related requirements. Governor Brown signed SB 1186. Nope. Okay.
I think that's old, isn't it? I mean, we still collect the funds, but it goes into a specific fund, and it pays for things like training, I believe, in the building department on.
Okay, so it's not for capital improvements or
no.
assistance in any way.
No.
Okay. Alrighty.
It's like a dollar, I think, or something like that. It's a very small amount
okay.
on each business license.
Got my hopes up.
Is that something that would give Steve his certification or?
The certification requires passing a test.
And he needs to just pass the test.
He has not to date.
Thank you.
Do we have any other items we'd like to add to the next agenda for discussion, outreach, or issues? I'm doing the post office. Who's doing the post office?
I think next step on the post office will be the letters we'll bring back next time for review before we send them out. So if you have any input for anyone, just send it directly to me, and I'll draft it into a letter. And then depending on what all's in the letter, we may or may not have it be reviewed by the city attorney.
So if each one of us email you with some ideas for this letter, then you'll draft it.
I will. Just email me directly. Don't email the whole group, because then that would be a violation of the Brown Act, but I can take your individual input so that I have something to bring back to you.
Can we reach out to Mr. Perez at Moore's for the next meeting? Maybe.
We can. I can get his contact. I was trying to think how to get his contact information. I should be able to from Linda.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then our new city manager, Arnaldo, had some suggestions a month or two ago, a couple of months back, and I can't find where I wrote them down, so I've re-initiated with him, so he's got some ideas as far as increasing seniors housing too that were very novel and from a planning perspective, so he seemed to think it was an optimistic endeavor. So anybody, anything else? Cynthia? All right. So meeting adjourned at 4:10. Stay awake if I put you to sleep.